Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. We're talking this series about can you lose your salvation and some of the consequences that if you do things that won't take you to the point to where you will lose your salvation, but the judgments that will come upon you if you're a disobedient Christian. I've wondered in my life as a Christian, since I've been a Christian since I was 11, I was raised in a good Christian home, walked with God, saw many people in church that were sick and afflicted. Never dreamed that Christians, because of sin, will bring demons to our bodies to torment us. But let's come to the word in prayer. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I praise you and thank you for the word of God. I thank you for these mighty promises, these statements that you made. Now then, I ask you to reveal to us by the Holy Spirit that as we meditate on these words today, that it will bring us to a place of reality, that we will try and strive to be the children of God that you told us to be, that we will do what the word says. We will purify ourselves from all sin so we open no doors to the devil. And I praise you and thank you for what you're going to do as we study your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. This question, can you lose your salvation, has been presented to me many times. And many churches that I've been a part of or been involved with have taught that it is impossible for a Christian to lose their salvation. But I now know that is not true. There is a way you can lose your salvation. Now, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9 clearly says that Jesus has become the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Well, if you don't obey him and do everything he says, it is very possible for you to lose that salvation. But you can't lose it and regain it. Lose it and regain it. Like many people say, lose your salvation today, you repent tomorrow, you're saved again. Now, if you sin today, you're just separated from God. But you're not lost. You have failed from grace when you sin, and you fall back under the law, and you give the devil the legal right to torment you now. Now, that beast will come, and he will torment you. He will do all kinds of things to you, and he loves it, and especially when he gets legal right to torment you as a Christian. He loves doing that to you. But he can only do it when you give him legal right through sin or unbelief of God's promises. It is very difficult to lose your salvation. Those that lose their salvation, according to the Word of God, have to be a full-grown, mature Christian. It is clearly laid out in the book of Hebrews in chapter 6, verses 4 and on. It says there very clearly, for it is impossible for a person that is a partaker of the heavenly gift, a partaker of the Holy Ghost, has tasted the good word of God and the power of the worlds to come, if you shall fall away after you've walked in that power. And I know very few people that have walked in that power. Very few people. But I have known a few. And I have heard of a few that have walked in that power that in later life turned their back on God. Well, according to the Word of God, when a person is saved and he walks in that power and he turns his back on God and he totally loses his salvation, the Word of God says it is impossible for you to be brought back into repentance. It can't happen. So you cannot be lost and saved, and then lost and saved. That cannot happen, according to the Word of God. But you can be lost. Everybody's lost to start out with. And then you come to Christ and get saved. Now then, you have to start on your walk with the Lord. And if you'll start with that walk, and you'll walk holy in obedience to His Word, and study His Word, and you'll continue throughout your entire life of doing that, and you'll walk in obedience. Once in a while, you may make a little step that's out of line with God's word. You may sin, or you may grumble, or you might even commit some wicked sins. You might even commit adultery or something. But you're not going to live in that. You made a mistake. The Holy Spirit convicts you. You repent. You tell the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry. I ain't doing that no more. I am sorry. He will forgive you. He will restore you. And you was not lost when you committed that sin. But if you continue to live in that sin, and there's nothing the Holy Spirit can do can bring you back, and you continue to live in those sins of adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, drunkenness, drugs, alcohol, hatred, anger, all those things that he talks about, you continue to live in that, then you're just going to, when you die, if you live in that and die in that, you're going to hell and not going to heaven. You cannot live in the world totally in sin all of your life and inherit the kingdom of God. Paul tells us in both Galatians and Ephesians that that's impossible, that you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So the secret here to this whole thing is I can guarantee everyone that God is the internal, that he is the author of eternal salvation to all those obey. So if you will obey him and walk in love and do what he says, I can guarantee you, you have nothing to fear about your salvation. You are saved. And if you haven't walked in the powers of the world to come, if you've never raised anybody from the dead, if you've never healed the sick, if you've never seen any, if you've never cast out any demons, you've never walked in the power that God wants you to walk in, or the power that's available to you. That's available to every child of God if you'll believe. Now then, if you walk in that and then fall away, it's impossible to bring you back to repentance, because you would be crucifying the Son of God afresh, and he was only crucified one time. He cannot be crucified again. So it's over. If you fall and you totally fall away from God after you've lived there, you cannot come back. But then what about all these other people that sin after they get saved? They don't ever spend the time studying God's word. Here's a little woman or a little man that come to Christ when they were 15. And when they're 18, they move in with some guy and they have sex and they maybe get pregnant and bring children into the world. What about those people? You know, are they lost at this time while they're living like that? No, they're not lost while they're living like that. They can still come to repentance and turn from their wicked ways and come back in, and God will forgive them because they've not walked in the power of the world to come. They've been deceived by the enemy. But what happens to these kind of people? What happens to people that live in sin, that come to Christ? They've been to church. They know that adultery is wrong. They know that lying is wrong. They know that cheating is wrong, but they do it anyway. They know stealing is wrong, but they steal. What about these people? What area of the Word of God do they fall under? Well, let's go and look and see what the Word of God has to say about these things, because it definitely has something to say about this. And let me go in my outline here to where I want to get. First of all, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll start with verse 22. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Now, we're supposed to draw near to God with a true heart or a pure heart. That's not a heart that's filled with sin. We're supposed to draw near with a true or pure heart in full assurance of faith. Now, if you don't draw near to the Lord with a true, pure heart and walk in love, you can't have any faith, because faith works by love, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. He says, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Well, our pure water is the Word of God. So when you have your whole body washed with the Word of God, you will not go out and sin. You will know what sin is. And then he says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Now, God is also a God that does not allow wavering. The children of Israel wavered in unbelief, and the Word of God says none of them entered into his rest because of their unbelief. Unbelief is sin. It's a terrible sin. And it's one of the worst sins in the entire Word of God. It's worse than adultery. Unbelief will keep you out of heaven. It'll keep you out of the blessings of God. But let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We're supposed to provoke one another to walk in love and do good works. We should deal with each individual person every day. We should be provoking our brothers and sisters in Christ to be walking in love and to be doing good works for the kingdom. Wouldn't hurt to ask people, what kind of good works are you doing? What have you done today for Jesus? Are you a Christian? Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. Where do you go to church? Immediately, people ought to say, well, I go down to this church or that church. And they ought to know the pastor's name and everything. But you find out right quick when you ask people, are you a Christian? Well, they hesitate. Well, yeah. Where do you go to church? Well, I don't go to church. Well, they're not much of a Christian. They don't know much about Jesus. They've been totally deceived by the enemy. And they need to know these things we're going to talk about here, where the Lord tells us to do. Then he says in Hebrews 10:25, we are not to forsake the gathering or assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. Now then, we should exhort each other to be in a church in the local area, wherever you live. You need to find you a good church, and if you can't find one, then pray and ask God to show you where you need to be. He will take you to a church somewhere if you will pray and ask him. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I want to be in your house. I want to serve you. I want to worship you. I want to love you. I want to praise you. But you need to show me where I need to go, where I can do that. And then thank him for doing it. Because if you come to him without wavering, with thanksgiving, I guarantee you the King of the universe will show you where to go to church, and he will bless you abundantly by going there. But in Hebrews 10:26, this is a statement he makes to Christians. And this is written to us, to the Christian. He says, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth. We sin willfully after you have the knowledge of the truth. What if you know it's wrong to steal? What if you heard some preacher preach on it?
We have to stop right there today, but if you'd like the teachings in its entirety, call us at 940-242-2106 or go to the web, www.tlsm.org, and there you can order all these teachings in their entirety, free and postpaid. Remember, Jesus is Lord.